kidnapped, raped, and strangled her. DNA evidence led to his arrest decades later. McCurley confessed to police in a videotaped interrogation. His defense attorney originally argued police coerced the confession from a sick old man. Steve Rappaport, Fox News.
For American Family News, I'm Rusty Pugh.
Hear it first on FirstAmendmentRadio.com and FirstAmendmentRadio.net.
Good day, everyone, everywhere, and special greetings to all those seated in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Those of you who have received the love of the truth, that you might be saved. I'm Nicholas, and the name of this broadcast is Cross the Border, and this is a live prophecy reality news edition. We do this once a week. We come here and take a look at the news. Invite you to join us in the chat room at FirstAmendmentRadio.net or .com and join the conversation. Ask questions, comments, call in. All the numbers at that page too. That's go to FirstAmendmentRadio.net and click on the chat button there and you can join us. And we actually are live streaming to, let's see, YouTube, DLive, First Amendment Radio, YouTube, Facebook page, Odyssey, and Trovo today. So we'll see if that does us any good. Yeah. Anyway, so everyone, wherever you're listening, come on over to the chat room. And if you can't leave your work or whatever it is you're doing, just keep listening right where you're at. Our scripture for the day. Let's see, what is it? They received not the love of the truth, that they might be saved. And for this cause, God shall send them strong delusion, that they should believe a lie, that they all might be damned who believed not the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness. And this scripture, just this part where God is sending them strong delusion, has become more real, it seems, than ever before, with such an obvious strong delusion alive in the world at large today. Because, and God tells us why that people accept the strong delusion, because they receive not the love of the truth that they might be saved. Now, I can tell you, I can testify, I love the truth. Good, bad, indifferent, painful or otherwise, the truth is what I want. And it doesn't matter. The truth may cost me my life, but I love the truth. And it doesn't matter because, see, it's only going to cost me something that I'm going to lose anyway in the end. It could possibly cost me something that I'm going to lose in the end anyway, which is everything. You know, you're going to lose everything when your mortal existence is over. But, you know, this here, I titled this broadcast here. Let me take a look at my title here on this page. Oh, yes. The Antichrist Borg, Transhuman Jab, and Premillennial Dystopian Tribulation Continues. Now, that's a huge title, but every word means something. The Antichrist Borg is, well, let's... Let's jump to something I heard. I think I was listening to John Arthur last night. No relation to me. Over there in Florida, got WXEI, a low-power FM station over there, and he broadcasts First Amendment Radio at least 90% of the time. So good job over there. And so if you're over there in the panhandle of Florida or near it in Alabama, you can listen to First Amendment Radio on WXEI. But anyway, he was talking about a poll that was done among evangelicals, and something like 60% of evangelicals, according to this poll, believe that Jesus, Muhammad, and Buddha were all different ways to heaven. Going, oh, these people are supposed to be born again too. I'm just going, those people have no clue. It's hard for me to believe that they're born again. And a good portion of those people believe that Jesus sinned like other men. Okay? Now, if you're an evangelical and you believe that there are other ways besides the blood of Christ, and you believe that Jesus sinned, you know what Paul said about you? He said, if Christ be not risen from the dead, we are without hope in the world. But if Christ sinned like other men, then he could not have rose from the dead, because the wages of sin is death, and Jesus would be dead now. He would not have rose from the dead. It was only because he was sinless that he did rise from the dead. So if Jesus is not sinless, if he was not born of a virgin, otherwise he would have been born in sin, because the sin nature, the sin debt that was received by Adam and Eve, and you shall surely die, see, because Eve came from Adam, so she died, you know, she received that same death sentence in that same day that Adam did. They both received that death sentence. But the death sentence is passed through the seed of the man and not through the seed of the woman, the man being the head and being first. So Jesus was born of a new seed called the second Adam. If Jesus was not born of a virgin, he would have been born in sin, and yes, he would have sinned, and he would have died in his own sin, and the only person's sins he would have paid the price for would be his own. But because he had never sinned, he paid the price for our sins. He took our sin on him and gave us a way out. As the scripture says, they received not the love of the truth. Now, these people in this poll that are being referenced, they haven't received the love of the truth because they believe a lie. And that's a strong delusion. Now, today, the delusion has become so obvious with people that have eyes to see and ears to hear that love the truth that it seems like for the first time it makes sense. But this strong delusion has been going on for millennia. And I can prove that by the very verse chapter that we were reading, because this comes from 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 at verse 10. It says, they received not the love of the truth that they might be saved. Verse 11 and 12 says, and for this cause God shall send them strong delusion that they should believe a lie, that they might all be damned who believe not the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness. So we get to the root cause of their not believing the truth, because they had pleasure in unrighteousness. Now, there is pleasure in sin. We all know that. There is an allurement there. Of course, there's destruction with it, because sin destroys you, and it's going to destroy us all in the end. But they love their pleasure and they don't want to give it up. They don't want to repent or change their mind about the pleasure that they receive. So they believe a lie. And many of them, as referencing this poll of so-called Christian, evangelical, born again, okay, they believe a lie. Why? Do they have pleasure in unrighteousness? Do they have unconfessed sin? Are they unwilling to change their mind and come into an agreement with God? Repent. That's what the word repent means, to change your mind. But getting back to the chapter that we get this scripture, these three verses from, about the strong delusion, is right in the middle of a chapter that is about the revealing of the Antichrist. Okay? And see, another lie they believe. You know, I'm calling this, the title of this broadcast, okay, is Antichrist Borg, Transhuman Jab, and Premillennial Dystopian Tribulation Continues. See, because all of these people that I'm referencing, they also believe in another strong delusion, another lie. And that is, they believe in the seven-year tribulation deception and the end-time Antichrist put forward by the Jesuit. The whole thesis of an anti-Antichrist was put forward by the Jesuit priest Ribera in the 16th century as an answer to Protestants who accused the papacy as being the seat of the Antichrist. They identified, you know, that's one of the legs of the protest. The protest against the Antichrist and his anti-Christian apostasy. Okay? But to counter that belief, the Jesuit Francisco Ribera came up with the thesis of an end-time Antichrist who only appears for the last 7 years before Jesus returns. This takes the complete weight of the seat of the papacy being identified as the seat of the man of sin of 2 Thessalonians and puts it on an unknown Antichrist in the nether future that is never going to come. Of course, others came along after Francisco Ribera and his end-time Antichrist thesis, and they built upon it with things like a pre-tribulation rapture. Where you're going to be raptured out before anything. All of the calamity of the entire book of Revelation is going to be poured out upon the earth. See, that's a lie. All of the calamity of the book of Revelation has been being poured out since John wrote the Revelation. Because he said, these things must shortly come to pass. And as to their commencement, they did shortly come to pass. And the revelation has been unfolding in history ever since then. So, we are in the tribulation that precedes the Messiah. That's why I call it the premillennial dystopian tribulation. Because we have just entered dystopia big time in the last year and a half. The world has been turned to one of these, like these fictional dystopias that you read about. Only it's incrementally happening, you know, but it's moving very fast now, whereas before it was moving very slow. It was actually getting rather boring, to tell you the truth, for me to sit here for the last 20 years and to bring you prophecy reality news. And hey, there's not a whole lot to tell, but I'm telling you. So we covered a lot of history, and we went over, you know, we looked at the entire history of the church, and we looked at how all this prophecy has been playing out over the last 2,000 years from the Revelation. But now we see we're moving fast forward into what we have been expecting, and the mark of the beast. And you can see how this is all coming into play, and how identification is working into this. And it's just phenomenal to me that, you know, it was back, I think, the swine flu, when was it, back in the 70s or 80s or whenever it was, and a few other times when they sent out vaccines that killed maybe less than a dozen people. They stopped the whole thing. Stop. You know, we have to do further. We have to prolong our testing periods. We have to be sure, because of the Nuremberg Code, that, you know, we're not pushing out something here that is going to just kill people or cause them great harm in their lives. Individuals have you know, they have a liberty, they have a right to know, and they have the right to refuse, or there are even rules as to how they can test people who wanted to be tested voluntarily. They wouldn't even let people at the end of their lives take experimental drugs, even though they were doomed to die within a few years. That's how tight the government control became over testing of medicines and stuff. But it's not so anymore. Obviously, life has become very cheap in the last year and a half. Whereas before, they would stop something if a few people got killed or there were too many adverse reactions. But not so now. How many? Probably exceeding 1 million people have been killed by the Antichrist Borg transhuman jab. And I'm calling it that because it gives your DNA instructions. And that should never be forced on anybody. No one should be coerced or tricked in any way into participating in something that instructs, that introduces new instruction into your DNA, into the work of God that we are. We are created in His image. They seek to interfere in that creation. They seek to play God and rewrite the instructions. That's problematic for me. And that would be, if I had a religious exemption, that would be based on. Because all these other religious exemptions, they're going to say, well, you got to have one that's authorized by a religious, you know, a religious organization that the government recognizes. That's what it's going to get to. You know it's true that they're going to just blanket deny everyone at first. Then you're going to have to fight in the courts and lose there because the Antichrist has all of his judges sitting in the courts that he controls. Because the Antichrist is alive and well, and he has been since the 6th century, as the scripture says, and we've gone through 2 Thessalonians before, we've recognized that the papacy is the seat of the Antichrist. And that seat has been filled continually, sometimes by more than one person, claiming to be the vicar of Christ, sitting in the so-called chair of Peter. Now, Peter was never a bishop in Rome. If anybody introduced the gospel to Rome, it would be Paul. You can read about it in the New Testament, the whole New Testament. There are books where Paul spent years in Rome. Your name and where you're calling from, you're on the air. Yeah, it has to. Carrie Ann in the chat room says it has to be a sincere religious belief. But who's going to judge to what's sincere or not? You know? I'm not going on the baby experimental, you know, from aborted babies. That's appalling enough. But I'm not going to hang my hat on that. I am created in the image of God. And they seek to interfere with the code that God wrote. They want to inject something in me that's going to rewrite my DNA. Yeah, it creates a spike protein, or it might create a cytokine storm in your body. Okay? So, 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. You should get my latest book. What's that book called? Reformed Prophecy Interpretation. And I've got a chapter in there on that. Or search. Just put in 2 Thessalonians in my, is it 2 Thessalonians? How do you do that? Well, I don't even know. But I've got plenty of articles that you can read for free on the man of sin. Okay, that's what I would search for. Man of S-I-N on my website at nicholasarthur.wordpress.com or crosstheborder.org. We'll get you there. Whoops. No. Oh, I guess I have to hit enter. Yeah, there it is. Reformed Prophecy Interpretation, Part 10, The New Testament Temple and the Man of Sin. History proves who the Antichrist, Paul's man of sin, is. So you put man of sin in the search engine, in the search box at my website, and you'll get all of these articles. Identity of the little horn, Daniel's little horn, the man of sin, Antichrist, and false prophet. Shadow government, man of sin, identified. All of it. There's a lot on the man of sin. Okay? So get educated there. The evidence in history and the scripture is explicit on it. It's undeniable. Okay? So that's 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. And you can, you know, you can search 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 teachings, and you can get every side of the story. And if you're any good at weighing the truth, scripturally speaking, without using conjecture, you know, to make it the man of sin, the 7-year tribulation deception antichrist of the Jesuit Ribera, yeah, there's that argument. But we have the historical argument on our side. Okay, let's see. Sincere. Has to be a lifestyle, not eating unclean animals. I won't put poison in my body, says Carrie. Well, I don't know if they'll accept that argument, but, you know, I'm not sure they'll accept any argument. I'm just going to refuse myself. I don't have to answer to them. You know, and it's true. Most people who are not sincere, that are not really living for Christ, that don't believe, they won't be able to uphold the argument. As a matter of fact, they're so deceived, they'll just go out and get the jab anyway, like a lot of people have. A lot of people have been deceived into getting the jab because they've been lied to. And we're going to talk about one of the biggest lies out there that just was released a few days ago. It's a bait and switch lie that they've just pulled on the whole world. And Dr. Malone, the inventor of the mRNA technology, has outed them in the last couple days. So we're going to talk about that because we're going into a break right now. And we'll talk about that when we get back from the break. Make sure you go to my website, crosstheborder.org or nicholasarthur.wordpress.com. And make sure you subscribe to my blog, that way, with your email address, and that way you'll get an email. No one else's. I'm not going to use it for marketing or anything like that. The only thing your email address is going to do is going to sign you up to get an email every time I do a posting on my website. That way you'll be notified usually a half hour to an hour to a half hour before the broadcast goes live, or any time I post anything else on my website. And I don't really post a whole lot, maybe once or twice a week. Usually once a week at least, because I do this live broadcast, and then other articles once, twice, maybe three times. That's rare. You'll get an email notifying you that I posted something. Okay? All right. Well, I'm glad to see everybody's in the chat room today. Looks like everyone I've ever seen before, too, is in the chat room today. So I want to thank you all for showing up for the broadcast today. Pass it around. Yeah. Let's see if we can get more people listening. I'm doing my part. I'm here. I'm out on five things now. I signed up for the restream so I can put multiple streams on. So now I just have to figure out how many I can actually get on, but trying to manage it all by myself is kind of difficult. So hopefully that'll be changing here soon. I'll get my grandson in here. He's not here today, but and maybe get him to be my board operator, producer in the months to come and until Christ returns. Okay, we're going to talk about that, things in the news, and whatever you want to talk about in the chat room. We'll take your calls, comments, and when we get back from some messages, which I'm waiting for it to start like right now. Okay, we'll be back in a few minutes. Don't go anywhere.
Behold, God is my salvation. I will trust, I will not be afraid. Behold, God is my strength and my song, and He has become my Lord. On days that I'm weak, it's hard to believe, still I know He'll see me through. You give me the power to
hear it first on FirstAmendmentRadio.com and FirstAmendmentRadio.net.
The book of Revelation says, the spirit of prophecy is the testimony of Jesus Christ. This is at the very heart of FirstAmendmentRadio.com. In that spirit, we have created the Prophecy Reality News app for all of your mobile devices, streaming First Amendment Radio 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Available for your Apple, Android device, and smartphone, absolutely free. Get the Prophecy Reality News app installed today so you can listen to First Amendment Radio wherever you are. The Prophecy Reality News app. Get it now.
Gold and silver is tremendously undervalued. Global demand vastly exceeds mine supply by more than 60% annually. There is little in the financial world more certain than a coming explosion in the prices of gold and silver. The U.S. dollar continues to lose value and respect as the world's reserve currency. Our nation faces challenges on many fronts, and a day doesn't pass without another economist bringing forth warnings of impending economic calamity. There has never been a better time than right now to acquire physical gold and silver. Discount Gold and Silver Trading was founded on the principles of truth and honesty. We believe in providing a quality product, quality service, and most importantly, competitive pricing. We provide all forms of precious metals, including American gold, silver, platinum, and rare investment and circulated coins. Silver bars, rounds, and 90% silver bags are on hand for the silver investor. Gold self-directed IRAs are available. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. Toll free, that's 1-800-375-4188.
The program you are listening to is 100% sponsored by you, the listener, on this First Amendment Rights Media channel. You will notice that there are few commercials on this radio network. There's a good reason for that. Corporate advertising dollars come with strings that limit program content. So without your help, these programs cannot continue on satellite, internet, or our several affiliates. If you benefit by the educational law programs, we ask you to give. If you are admonished or nurtured by the Bible and ministry programs, we ask you to give. If some voice a cause that you are passionate about, we ask you to give. If you believe in any of these, we ask you to support them as you would a missionary on a continual basis, as if giving a tithe for missionary radio. These programs are not commercially viable and must be supported by those faithful to the cause of truth. Look for the button to sponsor your favorite programs at our listen and schedule pages on the internet. We will also give you unlimited archive access to all of our programs. We're asking you to give much less than a tithe, so that you may also send support directly to a particular program host, cause, and anywhere else the Spirit may lead you. Do all to the glory of our God and Creator, for His holy nation, the only kingdom that will last forever. Thank you for listening.
Okay, welcome back. I was telling you about, before I left, about a switch and bait, a big lie that they've just unleashed on the whole world. You heard about, I believe it was Monday, I think that was the day that they announced that they were authorizing the the jab for Pfizer. Yeah. So now, what does everyone think? Well, let's see what Dr. Malone has to say about that. Let's see if I can get him up here on this. Yeah, Dr. Malone, he appeared on, I guess it's Steve Bannon. I guess that's this guy's name here. But let's hear what he has to say. But make sure my audio is on here. Desktop audio on. So let's play this. Just take a listen to this.
I'm confused because what CNBC and everybody's running around with Pfizer. When you look at the letters the way you've broken them apart, these two letters, they've actually, and I want to go back to what you said about the data. There's really no data. But they've authorized the use of a vaccine. Does that vaccine currently exist? If I want to walk down, not that I'll do it, but if I want to walk down to the doctor today and get the vaccine, can I actually get the one that, quote-unquote, has this kind of sketchy, shady FDA approval? Is that available right now, to the best of your knowledge, sir?
It's absolutely not available. So the little trick that they've done here is they have issued two separate letters for two separate vaccines. The Pfizer vaccine, which is what is currently available, is still under emergency use authorization, and it still has the liability shield. The once again, the mainstream media has lied to you. I'm sorry to say that. I know it's a shock to this. But the product that's licensed
is it really a shock?
Product, which is substantially similar, but not necessarily identical. It's called Comirnaty. I think that's how it's pronounced. And it's not yet available. They haven't started manufacturing it or labeling it. And that's the one that the liability waiver will no longer apply to. So the one that's actually licensed is not yet available. And when it does become available, it will no longer have the liability shield. In the interim, the one that does have the liability shield is the Pfizer product, and that's what's currently available, and it's still under emergency use authorization. So that's no change. The press has just not done their work and figured out what's actually going on here.
Fine, but that's where we have geniuses like you. I just want to make sure something's clear to the audience. And we're trying to be fair to the FDA in this whole process, this CCP virus. The emergency use authorization as it currently stands by the FDA for Pfizer does not allow its use for children under 16. Is that correct?
Correct.
Okay. The overall blanket approval for the other one, for BioNTech or whatever it's called, the one that's not fully done yet, does that include, is the way you read it, that does not include a full FDA authorization until at least 2023 or 2024 when these other studies are completed, correct?
That's the way I read it. That seems to be the way it's written. And by the way, in terms of the timelines, I just wanted to go back to that. There's a statement that the BLA acknowledges, so that's the license for the BioNTech product. Here's the language. The BLA acknowledges long-term myocardial issues with a five-year follow-up, which is consistent with the lower range of long-term follow-up for gene therapy products. It appears that banging on them, that they haven't applied the gene therapy.
Okay, now, I don't know if you got that quite yet, what's actually going on there. But basically, what Dr. Malone was saying is that the one that they've approved is not even available, but it's not the one that they've been handing out. The one that they've been taking and are still using is under the emergency use authorization. So there, the truth is nothing's been changed, but they pulled a bait and switch to make everyone think that not one that hasn't been used yet, it has not even been rolled out, has been approved, but they want to make you think that what they're saying applies to what's already in use, rather than something that hasn't even been rolled out yet. You get what I'm saying? That's what's going on. So, and now they're mandating it because it's been FDA approved. but they're mandating something that has not been FDA approved, that hasn't even been produced yet, that's only been authorized. See, because the authorization comes first, then they produce. They don't produce until they're authorized. That's how medicine usually works. You don't have millions of things out there unauthorized and then apply for authorization for them. But that's what everyone thinks. Oh, you know, now the FDA has approved what we've been using, but they haven't. That's still under emergency use. And you heard what Dr. Malone said. It's when it's approved, it becomes like all these other medicines, okay, out there, that they have liability for it. That's why you hear all these disclaimers when you hear these atrocious pharmaceutical commercials. You know, they roll through the, you know, may cause sudden death, this and that and the other thing, and all of these. You go, why would anyone want to take that? You know, and because that's how they advertise it. Well, now that's still how they'll have to advertise the approved one. So they're not anxious to get that approved one out there and receive liability for it, because it's not an emergency anymore. That, you know, so when they roll it out approved, it's not an emergency. So you have to be aware of that the one they approved is not even being in use yet, but they're acting as if. And you hear it on the news. I heard it on the news that we play here. They were spouting the same lie or disinformation, or what do you call it, bait and switch propaganda, that now that it's approved, it's just like, you know, none of them are saying, hey, can't wait till that one they approve comes out. That's what they should be saying. And Dr. Malone there, you know, God bless him, you know, put him in your prayers, because this guy's not going to be long for this world if he keeps speaking out. I'm pretty sure he already knows that he's in danger, him and a few others. What was the former guy who worked for Pfizer? There's another one out there. There's like Zelenko, Malone, and another one out there that are really spreading the word. But, you know, they're banned on the mainstream media. I think I've seen this guy on Fox, though. But Fox is pushing the vax and all that anyway. And Fox does not really count for much anymore, if it ever did. Really, people need to be turned on to broadcasts like First Amendment Radio and Prophecy Reality. And there are other people like this other guy out there that we just played his show, Bannon, I guess. I don't know him. I never listened to him. So there are some people out there. True News, even though I have some problems with them because they're too close to the great apostasy in their affiliations, like Gab and some of these other alternate social media are very closely tied to the fringe, great apostasy. Because the fringe and the great apostasy are those that are, you know, like anti-abortion, or they're against the present man of sin seated. They think he's an illegitimate, like we know that Joe's illegitimate. China Joe is the illegitimate president of the United States. So they believe that the present pope or certain popes are illegitimate popes. So they're kind of on the fringe out there, but they still get into the idolatry of Mary and the miracle of transubstantiation and the false sacrifice of the wafer and all that stuff. Yeah, they believe that that's actually Jesus being crucified over and over and over again. That's why you'll see Christ still on the cross in the great apostasy churches and many of their affiliates and daughters out there. And then we have a lot of we're talking about evangelicals who believe Buddha, Muhammad are alternative ways to heaven, and that Jesus, he was a sinner like all the rest of us. Yeah, so a lot of deceived people all over the place. I don't even know if you can go into so-called Reformed churches, because I, you know, I visited local Methodist churches and a Lutheran church here, and it's all pretty mainstream and not really Reformed, like back to Bible belief. Well, let's try this again. Your name and where you're calling from, you're on the air. Speak now or forever hold your peace. Well, maybe not forever, but... So, there you have that. Dr. Robert Malone needs our prayers. And pray for his salvation, too. He possibly already is saved. I don't know. I know he's been on some Christian broadcasts and stuff, so, but he is getting the truth out there, and he seems to be doing it fearlessly. So I hope he's genuine, and pray for his soul and his safety, that he can keep getting his message out there. Not that I think that there's any coming back from this. We have entered into the phase that, you know, Satan has been working for 2,000 years. He is, you know, speaking of a spiritual conspiracy of Satan and his demons been going on for thousands of years. It took him, you know, 200 and whatever years it's been from the founding of America. They got in at the very beginning. If you read F. Tupper Saucy's book, Rulers of Evil, you'll recognize the footprint of the Antichrist. Anywhere you see, have a concentration of power, because he knows if he can concentrate power, that he can initially take over and influence that concentration of power. And Washington, D.C., as far as I'm concerned, was a big mistake, but it was all Rome at work. It was all the Antichrist, the machinations of the Antichrist and his shadow government. Okay? And we've identified these people. We've looked at their history. We read their manual for ruling the world. You know, if you want to call it their secret instructions from 500 years ago. We've gone over that, and when you read those secret instructions of the Jesuits from 500 years ago, you go, yeah, they did it, and it worked. And that's why they own the money, they own all the governments, and now they own America, basically speaking. Washington, D.C. is theirs. They have their three city states that rule the world. Still the most popular article on my website is... What is that called? If you go to my homepage there, you'll see it at the very top. The Empire of the City, the Unholy Trinity that rules the world. And you'll see there are three obelisks there marking their three city states that rule the world. One, they say financial. The other, you know, the city of London is not a part of, it's like Washington, D.C., a separate city state. Just like the Vatican over there in Italy is not part of Italy. These are three sovereign city-states from which the Antichrist rules the world. Not only that, the Antichrist owns Washington, D.C., the city of London, and the Vatican, but the UN is its project, too. I've identified the UN as the image of the beast. Okay, all of the other beast powers, if you go through the entire scripture, they all had a locality, they rose up with a population on a physical local locality of the earth. That's how you identify beast powers. Okay? But the image of the beast, the reason why it's an image, it's only an image of the beast because it hasn't a particular locality, but it has control through this image of all the localities of the earth. This is Mystery Babylon. And that's what I call it, the Mystery Babylon image. Because we first got a glimpse of this from Daniel chapter 2 with the Mystery Babylon image dream that God gave to Nebuchadnezzar and gave to Daniel, the same vision and interpretation for that he could give to Nebuchadnezzar, the dream that dreamed that. And so that is a pattern of the Mystery Babylon image. Is a pattern, something, a clue. And I write about that in my book, Reformed Prophecy Interpretation. You can get all the details, all the scriptural references there to explain all that to you. Also, I have a free website for everyone, because I, you know, I published a quincentennial edition of the Hori Apocalypticae, leaving behind the speculation of the 19th century that was wrong, because they tried to put some things into the past that had not happened yet. That's what you do. You try to fit everything and find a place for everything in the past. It's one of the pitfalls of even the historicists, expositors of the past, is they tried to find a place, and that's what you're supposed to do. They didn't make an error by trying to do it, but they think they strayed too hard on some things which had not yet happened, which if they had lived till our day, they would have seen what I've seen, and I hope that they would have agreed with my determinations on that, as I printed in that. But you can find that at horiapocalypticae.wordpress.com. You can read the entire volume there free. I don't have all of the footnotes and all of the appendices there, but you can read the text of the entire thing, that updated edition of the Hori Apocalypticae. And I have to tell you right off the bat that 90 to 95% of that is original to E.B. Eliot. The only part that isn't original is the part that did not happen until after he departed this mortal plane. And so we're talking about the healing, the rise of the image, the United Nations, subsequent wars, because if you read the end of his original one, he thought that Jesus would return in the 19th century, you know, the century he was living in. Of course, he didn't live the whole century out, and he never saw what he had. So those are parts that we've updated to bring them up to now. We can see clearly now. I have my What Year Is It post there at my website. You want to know what year it is from creation, and what does that mean to us today? If my thesis is correct, okay, and I'm not saying it's perfect or that it's absolutely correct. I'm saying there, you got to give me a little wiggle room here. I'm just a man, but I've done the best job I can unearthing from the scripture a timeline, and that part is set in stone because it's from the scripture. It's just pinpointing the exact year, day, or hour, which I try to do neither of. So I say about 2055 is the end of the sixth millennium and the beginning of the seventh millennium. Of course, the proposition being that Jesus is going to return and for his millennial reign. So we get to the part about the pre-millennial dystopian tribulation that we're talking about, which is continuing now and will continue until Christ comes. We have entered the dystopia stage before Christ returns. It's not a seven-year tribulation deception talked about by these futurists who believe they're going to be raptured out before anything bad happens. I wish that were true. As a matter of fact, I so much wish that it was true that I believed it for most of my adult life, or at least half of it. I guess I'm getting old now. I can only say half of my, used to be able to say most of my adult life, but now I can say, let's see, about 1995, I put that belief aside. So, and it didn't really took me, and I believed it, you know, I didn't believe it. I put aside the belief in a pre-tribulation rapture, but I still kind of held on to the seven-year tribulation. But that went too, because then I started researching about 2004 or 5 into prophecy. I wanted to know everything about every proposition given out there in prophecy. So I've studied them all. I don't know them all well because I tend to forget a lot of stuff that I don't study. But what I do know most about is historicism and how it stands up against dispensationalism. And I do know about how premillennial historicism stands up against amillennial. And amillennial historicism is almost an oxymoron, as far as I'm concerned, because there are a few people try to hold on to historicism but interject amillennialism to them, and it just doesn't work. They usually end up forgetting about history and leaving it behind, too, to hold on to amillennialism. But I believe I explain it all fairly well in that book I keep referencing to. If you go to my website, you'll see a link there where you can get that book. It's available in in Kindle and print from Lulu Press or from Amazon, wherever you want to get it from. And also, you can listen to it for free, I think. No, you can listen to my exposition on the Revelation free. Click on the my Bible Studies tab there, and I just published a book this year on an exposition of the Revelation. So you got a lot of the same information that has primarily to do with in that book on the Revelation. But it is primarily a book on an exposition on the Revelation. Not primarily, but almost wholly. I do go through some other things in the first chapter, which is called Method of Interpretation. But the first chapter is actually chapter zero, or the introduction. And then I go chapter one for the first chapter of the Bible through 22 chapters in the Revelation. So that would be a good read. And you can listen to that free because I put the Audible version, which is available on Amazon. If you have Amazon Prime or you've signed up for Audible, you can get it free there and listen to it wherever you want. Or you can go to my website and listen to the Audible version of my exposition of the Revelation for free there. Okay? You just go to the Bible Studies tab there and click on the Book of Revelation. It'll be the last one in the New Testament column. Also on that page, you'll find there also the last book on the last column there, Prophecy Classics, Rulers of Evil, F. Tupper Saucy. If you're interested, good read. I suggest reading the book two or three times. In the end, he goes off with an analogy on Cain and Abel. And I'm not really impressed with that, but I am impressed with everything up to that point. So he goes off into something different there. But if you read the whole thing, make sure you read that end part with a grain of salt, because I think he's trying to make a point, but I'm not really sure. You just have to get out of it what you can. Okay. There is no seven. Thank you for that, Wacky, in the chat room. And I got a lot of people quitting and timed out. I wish they could fix that in this chat room. I'm looking for a different chat room. I like one with all the features here, but one that doesn't keep quitting. And I really need a web person, someone to help me out with. I mean, I'd even pay, you know, a reasonable amount for someone that could fix my website for me. You'd have to know WordPress and HTML, okay, to do that. Because I know both, but not very well. And you can tell by looking at my web presence that the guy who does it really is not up on the game there. That would be me, yeah. Okay, let's see. We're going to look at some news items, comments, or questions. It just occurred to me, if 2026 is the final year, what happened 7 years before that? I don't know. Who said 2026 is the final year? I didn't say that. I'm saying about 2055. We got a while to go, my friend. And for us old folks, it's doubtful that we could live that long. Okay. We're going to take a break here, listen to some news. So do what you got to do, but make sure you come back. Invite a few more people while you're gone, getting your cup of coffee or whatever. You're listening to Across the Border, a Prophecy Reality Edition. I'm Nicholas Arthur, and I'll be back in about 7 minutes.
What must I do?
first on FirstAmendmentRadio.com and FirstAmendmentRadio.net.
American Family News, I'm Rusty Pugh. Firefighters near the South Lake Tahoe wildfire continue to try and fight the flames, and a nearby town is concerned. Fox KTXL Sacramento's Rowena Shaddix reports from El Dorado County.
More than 3,000 people, many concerned about the Caldor fire reaching the Tahoe Basin, tuned in to the Cal Fire community meeting to learn the latest developments. Information boards with fire maps posted around South Lake Tahoe are also helping to keep residents in the know.
We're a couple of miles west of Kybers, right on Highway 50, and these flames are the closest that we've seen alongside the South Fork of the American River.
More than 2,100 firefighters were on the ground working on containment lines and in the air trying to stop the spread of the fire. But those flames burning in steep terrain with plenty of fuel to keep it going are not making it easy for the firefight.
More than 21,000 firefighters are on the ground. Concerns over the Pfizer COVID vaccine have resurfaced over the use of aborted baby cells. And Charlie Butts has the story.
The Food and Drug Administration has given formal approval for the COVID shot, but now some members of the public want to know if what is being put into their arm's muscle has cell lines from an aborted baby. Dr. Tara Sander Lee of the Charlotte Lozier Institute tells AFN.
We know that they did not use any aborted fetal cell lines to produce the vaccine or to make the vaccine that actually is injected into you. But there was some post-production testing that was done using aborted fetal cell lines.
So again, the shot does not contain the cell lines. The same with Moderna. But to appease those with concerns about testing using the cells, she suggests both companies should change their approach.
It really does put the user in a vulnerable position, choosing whether to accept a vaccine that had any connection with abortion-derived cell lines or not being vaccinated. So we need to consider people's consciences when it comes time to accepting these vaccines, especially when there's a connection with abortion-derived cell lines.
That's true, because there are alternative cell lines that can be used just as well, and they come from animals such as monkeys or Chinese hamster ovaries and human cells that don't kill anyone. The Charlotte Lozier Institute maintains a chart on its website that reviews all known vaccines and whether abortion-derived cell lines were used. I'm Charlie Butts.
Students in Virginia as young as kindergartners are being shown a video that teaches them the police are dangerous, and typically the school is calling it a mistake.
A former board member for the school located in Falls Church thinks someone needs firing, according to Fox. Linda Harvey of Mission America says this is promoting lawlessness in school.
And children will accept this. They will believe this, especially kindergartners in this case. They're being indoctrinated to distrust law and order. This can only lead to more chaos and destabilizing our entire society.
She says the motive behind this is that leftists want the police resource officers out of schools.
The idea is that you take police away and there will be less misbehavior by students. Irrational thinking. Violence does go on in many schools, and more violence will happen if there's no police presence to deter it.
Harvey says the radical group Advocates for Youth wants the budget for police redirected to instead be used for comprehensive sex education. I'm Bob Kellogg.
A recently published study from the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention shows there is no scientific rationale for forcibly masking school children. Parents and their kids protested in Castle Rock, Colorado on Monday to protest against the Douglas County School District's mask mandate. A reporter asked a young student whether or not he'll wear a mask.
No.
American Family News is online at AFN.net and on the AFN mobile app. I'm Rusty Pugh.
Hear it first on FirstAmendmentRadio.com and FirstAmendmentRadio.net.
Welcome back. You're listening to Across the Border. This is a live prophecy reality edition. And we're talking about, when we left, about 2026. The Geneva Bible pinpoints the year 2026. And I have to, you know, I have to give it to the those Genevans over there. I mean, if I were in history, I would identify more with the Genevan line of Reformed thought than the Lutheran, I have to say. And those guys were doing their study. They were doing their due diligence because they got closer than anyone else I know from history in identifying the year 2026. At least they knew they were within, you know, so many years, less than 30 years to the point that I, you know, come through in my study, what year is it? And that study's been sitting out there, almost, 8 or 9 years now, or maybe, and I've been working on it since before I published it, or since I last published it, or re-updated it, and come to about 2055. I always have to say that about. It might be 2054. It might be 2056. And I think I have a lot more, I hope I have a lot more resources to at my fingertips than, whoever came up with the 2026 date in the Geneva footnotes there or notes, wherever they are, side notes or whatever, however they did that in that version. But they were much closer. Now, we're very close to 2026. And someone asked in the chat room, if it's 2026, what happened 7 years before that? Who said that? Somebody said that here. Oh, yeah. Okay, let me see. Oh, yeah. WW says, it just occurred to me. WW, man, what, you've been listening to me how long? 7 years before that, there's nothing pinpointed to happen because there is no rapture. There's no pre-tribulation rapture. And a lot of people, maybe the guy who burned my books, see, because people have been so brainwashed into this mode of thinking, the seven-year tribulation deception, that they think the word rapture actually means the same thing as resurrection. See, because the Bible does talk about a resurrection. When I say the rapture will be canceled, I'm not saying that the resurrection will be canceled, because that's definitely going to happen when Jesus returns for his millennial reign. That is definitely going to happen. We're going to be caught up. It's not going to be in a secret seven-year pre-tribulation rapture where the entire contents and every bad thing that is enumerated in the entire book of Revelation, all that calamity, is supposed to happen after I get raptured out, after we get raptured out. You know, forget the hundreds of millions that have suffered at the hands of the Antichrist and other Christ haters in history. Forget them. They didn't need no rapture, but we get one. Yeah, I want to read that in there. It's very comforting, especially you told the lie in the first place that all of the calamity of the entire book of Revelation is going to happen in this little seven-year period. Suddenly, the Antichrist is going to appear, and suddenly he's going to dominate and rule the whole world and control the money. Gee, the Antichrist has been working on this for hundreds of years, controlling the money, power, working behind the scenes with his shadow government. Yeah. More powerful than ever he was before, when he was exercising his overt reign and burning Bibles and heretics that, would hazard the crime of actually having a Bible in their own language or printing them or spreading a gospel around in the vulgar tongue. That deserved the death sentence. Or preaching the true gospel of Jesus Christ while protesting against the great apostasy and the man of sin. Yes, hundreds of millions died in history doing that. But suddenly now we think, because we've been fed some pablum, some very sweet lie, that won't happen to us. Yeah. But I'm ready, you know? I mean, I'm not ready this minute, but I'm certain that I will be ready because Christ is with me. And if I go to the flame, the fire, the sword, the guillotine, whatever may come, that he will be with me. And that I will be translated into his presence when my mortal existence comes to an end. Yes, I've read many of the stories of the martyrs and read of their praise to God in the flames, their elation at seeing the heaven opened up and making the stepping off the mortal plane, you know, figuratively speaking, into eternity with Christ and all the promises of God. Yeah. Being comforted in their prison, kept in his hiding place where he keeps us, being able to endure horrendous things on earth preceding their translation into his presence, whatever may come. That's what we have to be ready for. Because if you believe the lie, then you're going to, when the times come, you're going to say, the Bible's wrong. God lied to me. The Bible is not true because I did not get raptured out. And here they're trying to give me the mark of the beast. And oh, I guess I better just accept it because I don't know what's true anymore. That's what the Antichrist, that's the whole idea of the seven-year tribulation deception, is to discredit the Bible, discredit everything you believed, and thereby discredit the Bible by your belief and a false interpretation. That's what's going on. That's the whole idea. So, 2026 doesn't look like that's going to happen. I wish, you know. But wishing doesn't mean that I get to change my study. My study is what I meticulously and laboriously, you know, I labored over it. I'm looking for the truth. And, you know, the truth isn't pleasant that to know that I have to be 100-plus years old to live until Christ returns. That's not pleasant. You know, I would rather I were 45 or that he was coming in 2026. You know, that would be much more pleasant. But my work here is not about what's pleasant or what I desire or how I would like it to be. It's none of that. I would love a seven-year pre-tribulation rapture to escape even the what has not been fulfilled in prophecy yet that is coming on the earth right now. What is on the earth right now? I would have rather had been raptured out, you know, last March. Come on. I'm for the last March rapture. That's the one I want since it's multiple choice, you know. Everyone chooses the pre-trib, the seven-year pre-trib. It's multiple choice. You're going to choose the one you want the most. So when I chose, it was an easy choice. They laid it out for me. Well, you know, if God's given me a choice, then I'm choosing the first one. You know, why should I want to endure any tribulation whatsoever? You know? Yeah, but yeah, in this life, you will have tribulation. It's not judgment. If you're a Christian, it's tribulation. If you're an unbeliever, it's judgment. Figure it out. Yeah, go figure it out. Just look at history. And was it tribulation or was it judgment? Well, it depends on who it was happening on. Because if it's tribulation, well, and we die in it, then we're immediately in the presence of God. And eternity is ours. We'll live and reign with him for 1,000 years. And then after that, the new heaven and the new earth. You know, forever, all the promises of God. We go into the eternal state after the millennial reign of Christ. You know, that's for us. I can endure some tribulation for that. It's not judgment. We've already been judged in Christ. Judgment is not for us. Tribulation is for us. Suffering is for us. That's been our lot. I read the book. There's no escaping it unless you're receiving some kind of delusion. So anyway, all of these resources are there for you. at my website. So, yeah, and you can see them here at the top of the page there at my website. Matthew chapter 24 explained, that's the Olivet Discourse explained. That's directly, I believe I updated that, and you'll read that practice. I think that whole chapter from my book, Reformed Prophecy and Interpretation, the Olivet Discourse is in that publication there. Let me see if that is. I think that's updated. I copied it verbatim from my book. So you get that chapter free. And anything I updated in my book, I also updated in the posts. Now, and the What Year Is It is updated. Some of the optics have been updated, like the Bible. And I had to tweak a few things, but it's pretty much where I left it off in 2013 or 14 or whatever it was. What year is it? And you can see from the opening chart here that, this is a summary chart of what you'll find in that chapter. And so this is updated too. You'll find the exact same thing that you'll find in my book, Reformed Prophecy Interpretation. So a lot of my book is published on my website in different chapters. So take advantage of all that, updated totally with a lot of extra material. So if you haven't read it in a few years, you might want to go there and you haven't read my book yet. Plus the optics are better on the website than in my book. As far as what you see, is much better. So make sure you take advantage of all that there at my website. Yes, indeed. Okay, let's look at some news items. Okay, so I talked about that. Oh, yeah, we talked about the Geneva Bible. They were all English exiles hiding from Queen Bloody Mary, not Genevans. Yeah, even Calvin was there. He was pretty big in Geneva. One of the main contributors to the Reformation there. Some people say the Scottish Covenanters. Yeah, people from all over Europe were. That's probably why I would be more in line, was because it was more of the Europe wide or Western European wide effort happening there in Geneva. So it's much more balanced than, say, just the Lutheran, because I think that Luther was wrong on the consubstantiation thing that he held on to. I think it was a remnant of transubstantiation to a degree. So anyway, I wasn't there then. I have the internet. They didn't. You can search everything down to the minutest detail in the last few years. I think that's all going to change by 2030, when you're going to need the mark of the beast to even get on the internet. I'm sure we'll be able to get on somehow in a dark web thing there somewhere. And many of you have heard of the commercials for discount gold and silver trading. I'd say get some silver now. I think it's going to go into three, triple digits here by 2030. So you might want to get your hands on some while it's only double digits. Okay. It's in lower double digits, but it's gone up a lot since, the beginning of the century here. Silver has gone up quite a bit, at least, nearly 10 times, not officially on the exchanges, but to actually buy the physical stuff. It costs more than the supposed going, price for bullion or whatever. So we might want to make sure that you have, if we're going to be dealing in the black market by 2030, is still their date. That's still where they're pushing for the official mark of the beast, one world monetary system where everyone has to exceed. And you can see it happening. You will be banned. All the social banning, social scoring stuff is all adding up to excluding true believers, true Bible believers, from participating, or other rebels, rebels to the New World Order or the Antichrist Borg assimilation that they're rolling out now as big as they can and as fast as they can. And I think that this is their 10-year push. The 2020 thing is their 10-year push to make their 2030 agenda. And also I wrote a book about when the third temple is built, the rapture play will begin. And so they may want to complete that play. If they want to complete that play by 2030, you know, it's false prophecy, but I think they're willing to play it out. They got their Abraham Accord going. I believe that they are trying to get that to play out so they can have their 7-year tribulation deception done by 2030 and totally discredit the Bible for all those that are holding on to that pre-tribulation rapture hope, that hope of false prophecy. Yeah. So if they begin that, if they start the project in 2023, then 7 years from that date will be 2030. So if they want to have that done by 2030, well, you'll see that roll out too. Because that whole thing, that whole Abraham Accord, that's an Antichrist man of sin production. Yeah. We'll give credit where credit is due. Hey, that's an Antichrist man of sin production. That's his shadow government work. The whole Zionist movement, that's all his work. You know, sometimes I log into David Knight doing the show live, and there's the regular Jew haters up there. They just hate Jews. You want to blame Jews for everything, or you can go to True News, you get kind of the same thing there. And they're always focused on, oh, Zionists, sir. You know, they're the raw. It's always taking the focus away from where it really belongs, the Antichrist and his shadow government, foretold by the scripture. I don't know why these people can't believe it. It's because they believe that the Antichrist is relegated to the last 7 years. But if they believe Jesus is coming any time, well, they also believe they can't see the Antichrist, that he won't be revealed until they're raptured out, and the man of sin will be revealed. And when the restrainer is taken out of the way, I believe the Holy Spirit's going to be taken off the earth. Well, I tear all that down and apart and in pieces scripturally in my book, Reform Prophecy Interpretation. I disabuse, if you want to be disabused of all that nonsense, it's all in there for you. Or just keep listening here and go through all my articles. You'll see everything I've said in my book, practically speaking, on one of my broadcasts or in many, many of my articles. So get it all for free. Yes, for all you people that need free. Yeah, and Wacky says, and Luther held a baptismal regeneration. He believed there might have been some magic there or something. So it's kind of hard to disabuse yourself of wrong ideas. But God is merciful. I believe we'll meet Luther in the resurrection, you know, when the day comes and we're changed in the moment in the twinkling of an eye, that when we see him, we will be like him. And we'll look around. And we'll recognize everybody and go, wow, everybody's like him. This is like the coolest place ever. What? We're in the air. And we're returning. We're going back to earth with him. Whew. Whoa. See, I believe in that. That's not the rapture. That's the resurrection. The word rapture ain't in the Bible, but the resurrection is definitely in there. I searched the book. I know what I'm talking about. So we'll be caught up to meet him in the air, and he's returning. And then we'll see what's going to happen. The last three chapters of my book are just about that, you know, that time. So, you know, that's the prize. That's what we're to keep our eyes on. It ain't a rapture and escaping. Because if your prize is a rapture to escape, you know, tribulation, then you got your eyes fixed on the wrong thing. You need to be disabused of that. You got to be willing to, you know, lay down your life for Christ. Jesus even said, if you love your mother, your father, your children more than you love me, you're not worthy of me. Yeah. So what's going to happen? You're going to put your children first
you know, oh, I got to get the mark. I got to get the mark so I can put what my children going to eat. Yeah.
I'd rather starve. Because if you get the mark to save your children, you're going to not only lose your children, but your own soul for eternity. How's that? How you like that? Yeah. Is that what you want? Well, no. Which book did I cover this in? Oh, I guess you're asking me that question, Mercy Grace. The name of the book is Reformed Prophecy Interpretation. If you go to I'll put a link to it here somewhere. Here it is. Reformed Prophecy Interpretation. I'll put a link to it in the chat room right now. That's the one. So you'll find a lot of answers in there. It's a cheap book. It's only $16. If you got Amazon Prime, $16.99, it'll be delivered to your door. Okay, or Kindle, $7.99. You're welcome for that. Yeah, just spread the word around. We got to disabuse our Christian brothers and sisters of the Antichrist thesis of an end time Antichrist. Of course, you can understand why they'd make that up, because they were being identified by the Protestant reformers. The papacy was being identified as the man of sin. They ruled, just coincidentally, for 1,260 years, overtly ruled Western Europe, put to death hundreds of millions of believers over 1,260 years, met every criteria, the man of sin and the Antichrist and what the scripture says about that. And you can read about it all in that book. And everything I reference in that book, I have. You can read the entire Jorge Apocalypticae for free. How would you like that? Let's see. I'll put a link for that in the chat room too. The Jorge Apocalypticae. You can read a lot of the same stuff there for free. If I can get to it. Yes, indeed. Here's the home page. And this is primarily E.B. Eliot's work. So make sure you take advantage of that there. That's free for you. You can also buy that in a book form. There's a link if you want to buy your own four-volume set, either paperback or hardcover there, if you want that for your library for when you get kicked off of the internet. You need some good reading. It's I spent thousands, myself and Richard, who used to be here on the ranch and worked with me, we spent thousands of hours putting that together. So definitely a worthwhile project. And you can read it for free or even buy your own copy. Okay, we're going to go on a break and we're going to look at some news headlines when I get back. That should fill up a half hour very easily. So don't go anywhere.
We're in a battle weary nation, full of wounded and weary souls. They've lost the desire to win the fight. They're just praying it won't be long. With their weakened hearts on a holy cause,
hear it first on FirstAmendmentRadio.com and FirstAmendmentRadio.net.
The program you are listening to is 100% sponsored by you, the listener, on this First Amendment Rights Media channel. You will notice that there are few commercials on this radio network. There's a good reason for that. Corporate advertising dollars come with strings that limit program content. So without your help, these programs cannot continue on satellite, internet, or our several affiliates. If you benefit by the educational law programs, we ask you to give. If you are admonished or nurtured by the Bible and ministry programs, we ask you to give. If some voice a cause that you are passionate about, we ask you to give. If you believe in any of these, we ask you to support them as you would a missionary on a continual basis, as if giving a tithe for Missionary Radio. These programs are not commercially viable and must be supported by those faithful to the cause of truth. Look for the button to sponsor your favorite programs at our Listen and Schedule pages on the Internet. We will also give you unlimited archive access to all of our programs. We're asking you to give much less than a tithe so that you may also send support directly to a particular program host, cause, and anywhere else the Spirit may lead you. Do all to the glory of our God and Creator, for His holy nation, the only kingdom that will last forever. Thank you for listening.
Since the beginning of time, kings have sought it, nations have fought for it, it has been traded, it has been borrowed, it has been purchased, it has been stolen, there's a reason for it. To secure the blessings of liberty, to ourselves and to our posterity. Invest with the security of gold and silver. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188 or visit discountgoldandsilvertrading.net. Listen to Financial Survival with your host, Melody Cedarstrom, right here on FirstAmendmentRadio.com at 4 p.m. Eastern or 1 p.m. Pacific Time. Visit discountgoldandsilvertrading.net or call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. Toll free, 1-800-375-4188.
The book of Revelation says, the spirit of prophecy is the testimony of Jesus Christ. This is at the very heart of FirstAmendmentRadio.com. In that spirit, we have created the Prophecy Reality News app for all of your mobile devices, streaming First Amendment Radio 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Available for your Apple, Android device, and smartphone, absolutely free. Get the Prophecy Reality News app installed today, so you can listen to First Amendment Radio wherever you are. The Prophecy Reality News app. Get it now.
Welcome back. It's our final segment here, and I wanted to let everyone know another hero in the world out there at large, although he's somewhat liberal in his political leanings, he's a real man of truth, despite I don't really know what his political leanings are, but he's got a new book that will be available. It's available for pre-order, The Real Anthony Fauci. And I like the subtitle to this one. It's Bill Gates, Big Pharma, and the Global War on Democracy and Public Health. And so that should be quite an expose. I think Anthony Fauci and Bill Gates should be shaking in their boots. So I guess we need to put Robert Kennedy Jr. on our prayer list too, because I believe this is going to be released in the first week of November, so it's available for pre-order. I wish he was offering a paperback edition of it, but he just has a hardback and EPA, or what do you call it? The other one, Kindle version at Amazon. So we'll see. It ought to be good, because Robert Kennedy Jr. Pulls no punches. So I expect for him to give a full view and a full expose on Anthony Fauci and Bill Gates. So anyway, something we all need to keep. And you should subscribe to his page childrenshealthdefense.org. A lot of good articles and a lot of good causes going there. He's one of the few lawyers that you could put in the category of a hero in this world today. So pray for him, his health, and his soul. That's what I have to say about that. Okay, and I have some headlines here. Medical care for the unvaccinated. Comply or die. So they will be denying, and this is the mark, just look at it. Medical care for the unvaccinated, or how about those that don't have the mark of the beast? Because we know this is all the exercise for where it's going. Okay? They're getting all of this in order. So you can see how easily, within over the next 7 years, they plan on having it locked in for the mark of the beast monetary system. Medical care, anything. See, I already quit. I quit 20 years ago. I stopped using the number and withdrawing from everything that was tied to the number, so that now I'm, you know, going on 70 in a couple years here. And I'm not collecting any Social Security or any public anything, Medicaid, Medi-Cal, free this, free that, food stamps, none of that. I planned for not doing it. I don't have a lot of money saved up. I got a little bit of silver, you know, and I prepared for my life as if, you know, I'm going to live it for the next, till I'm 100. I'm prepared to live it for till 100 without begging for bread, but anything could happen. You know, I could lose my place to live. I could be run out in the street. I might have to flee for my life. Anything could happen. I could lose. It doesn't matter, you know. But the thing is, I have made plans, you know. I've had 25 years to make plans because I started this 25, 30 years ago. Yeah, it's getting that long. 30 years ago. Yeah, it's 30 years ago. That's about the time I decided that I'm leaving all of that behind. I'm not going to count on the government. I don't care if I paid in, how much I paid in. And I hated that, you know, when I would, because I always was self-employed for the most part. You get to the end of the year and go, wow, hey, look, I saved up. I have a, you know, I worked hard, paid all my bills, you know, stayed out of debt. I saved a little money, and now I got to give everything I saved to the government to pay for things I don't want, to pay for abortions and nation building and, you know, very little that I want. God, something is not right about this. And then I started studying the scriptures and I realized that that anytime you need a mark from a government to buy or sell, anytime they mark an they tie an identification, a mark, with buying and selling, that you have a mark of a beast that's required, a financial mark of a beast. And I decide I'm not going to have any financial mark of the beast. So I stop using the number. And so I don't have to worry about it. Medical care for the unvaccinated? You know, if I need medical care, I'm going to either provide it for myself or I'm going to pay cash for it. So comply or die. I'm not going to any hospitals if I can help it. I'd rather if I get sick and, you know, and succumb to complications of old age, then I'll just die at home in my bed. Yeah. I won't let them take me to no hospital to pump me full of drugs and put me whatever they do, you know, all that stuff. Besides, they won't take me because I won't give them a number. I won't comply. I'll die. And so what? I'm going to die anyway. Sometime, you know, I can prophesy. Sometime in the next 50 years, you know, if nothing else happens, I will die. You know, that's it. And there have been some times in my life when I felt like I was going to die. Yeah, and we all have had those moments, don't we? Yeah. Okay, that's from Gary D. Barnett, an article, Medical Care for the Unvaccinated. Comply or die. You must be vaccinated. Yeah, well, I don't know. I'd rather take my chances with COVID. And maybe I already have. Maybe I already had it and was asymptomatic and didn't know it. You know, I'm taking plenty of zinc and enzymes and probiotics and eating right. You know, getting a modest amount of exercise, enough to at least keep me going as far as I'm going. Okay, do this before backing down to a cop, says Alan Stevo. And I got to take a look at this article. Do this before backing down to a cop, he says. I had the joy recently of speaking to several hundred parents who see how unsafe, ineffective, and experimental face masks are and refuse to let their children be masked at school. And here you go, another public school, another socialist program. Get your children out of public school. Shame on you. If you didn't take them out 20 years ago, shame on you. You know, if you're sending them back after having them withdrawn and learning everything that the hard lessons that people have learned, I think God's mercy, you know, to wake up parents as to what's really going on in the public schools, to hear and see things on those monitors and their online school attendance that they found appalling. They're continuing. They intend to continue when you send your children back masked to their public schools, to their seminaries. That's what they are. They're humanist seminaries set up by the Antichrist to destroy the spiritual health of your children, so that, you know, because the Antichrist doesn't care anymore. He used to, 1260 years, he tried to get everyone to join his apostate anti-Christian church. And he would kill people for that and for not doing that. And if you did it and you still were apostate on the side, according, or a heretic to his belief on the side, they'd still kill you. They had to kill a lot of people, man. Wipe out, you know, they committed genocide as nothing to them in their history. You know, when you read true history that they haven't hidden, because, of course, you know, their shadow government, they're called the educators of the world. And they are. There's a reason for that. Because they realize how valuable education was. And that's why they practically speaking, for all practical purposes, control 90% of all education that goes on this planet. They have their hand into it somehow, whether it's in the textbooks or controlling the teachers. That's where you think all this critical race stuff and all this, you know, alphabet sexuality comes from. That's theirs. They put that in there to destroy Western society, because Western society has been the biggest thorn in their side to the New World Order. Liberty, freedom, and everything that you know, America and Western civilization was built on from the Reformation up. That's what they've been very successful at tearing down for the last 500 years, you know, behind the scenes, under several layers of culpable deniability. They can always point the blame for what they do on someone else. It's their tactic, as their instructions reveal to us that were outed hundreds of years ago. And if you read those instructions, which I've done here on the air, and you go, yeah, they did that. The evidence is all around us that they have a shadow government that is ruling the world. They got kicked out of a lot of nations in Western Europe for what they were doing, for their political machinations. Yes. Mercy Grace in the chat room says, I don't understand how they can put their children in these schools. When a student is fully trained, they will be as their teacher. That is right. So, I think apostasy is clearly recognized by division. Yeah. Thank you for that, Tony, and Mercy Grace in the chat room. We got a lot of people in the chat room today. Thank you all for showing up there. like your comments and your questions. As they destroy the family, that they've tried to destroy it, but people keep coming, you know, family keeps coming back. You can't destroy the nature of things as God created them. It'll always come back. That's the Antichrist and his shadow government have to work very hard, and they do work very hard. They never give up, you know. And we only come, you know, the people that want to conserve or conservatives, they only come after the wrecking ball's already hit and try to put things back. And they're standing there preparing the next wrecking ball. Let you build it up a little so they can wear you out by tearing it down. Oh, this is going to go on until Christ returns. This is the nature of things. It's all been prophesied. But what does that mean? That we give up? No way. Resistance is not futile. That's why I call them the Antichrist Borg. You know, we win in the end. That means we never give up. We never stop resisting. Resistance is not futile. Even if we have to lay down our lives, it will not be futile. I mean, when I think about it, when I read history, when I think about how I would rather die, I don't fear martyrdom. As a matter of fact, I prefer it, that I could lay down my life for Christ compared to any other mode of death, dying peacefully in my sleep as an old man with all my children. That would be wonderful. But I would rather than have dying peacefully in my bed as an old man with all of my children and grandchildren around me. That would be wonderful, you know. But what would be even more wonderful is to lay down my Christ, and when I rise from the dead in the resurrection, to have all my grandchildren and my children and an entire congregation of people that I've ministered to and prayed for and labored over around me. That's the prize I'm after. I don't need peace in my time to be deferred to, you know. Let it come. Come what may. If they're going to start martyring Christians, you know, for whatever reason they put out there for the public they've always done that. They've always lied and demonized those that they kill. They have to. They have to justify it for themselves and for all those around them. So it doesn't matter what they're going to say about me, what they accuse me of. You know, I'm sure they can drum up 10 crimes against me. You know, 100, perhaps. They add as many as they can. Oh, man, you don't want to do what that guy did, you know. Or they make false accusations like they did against Tony Alamo. You know, I watched that trial. That was a sham. Yeah, I saw that go on. So there's been some people taken down. And what was his crime? What was his real crime? It was outing the man of sin as the Antichrist. Yeah, that was his real sin. You could teach a few truths from the Bible and they can demonize you for those. So some truths are forbidden, foreboden. You don't want to teach those from the Bible because they will use those against you. Yeah. They will blow them out of proportion, then accuse you of crimes that they can associate with the truth that you might have taught, and then make up lies. And then most of the world believes it. Even most Christians will believe everything that the world is going to say about those that they're going to come against and start putting to death after 2030. Like when the Mark of the Beast Inquisitions begin. That's the one I'm talking about. And that's what I call the 2030 March to the Mark of the Beast Inquisitions. That's where we're going. Prepare for it. You're not going to be pre-tribulation raptured out of it. You know, nobody is. The only way out is death, or you live through it and serve Christ. And then, you know, serving Christ, that's the most important thing of all, is that you belong to Him and His blood covers your sins. Without that, you have nothing. You are without hope in the world. Your only hope is that you die and nothing happens and you turn to dirt and you never exist again. That would be more comfortable than believing suffering in hell forever because you believed, yes, as the scripture says, you received not the love of the truth that you might be saved. And for this cause God shall send them strong delusion that they should believe a lie, that they all might be damned who believed not the truth but had pleasure in unrighteousness. Repent of your sins. God knows about your sins. You can't hide anything from him. And the fact is that you may struggle with that sin for the rest of your life. But repent anyway. In the middle of it, cry out to God. Say, I don't want to do this. I want to change. I cannot live if I have no hope. Hope is better than sin. I'll trade in all my sin for hope of eternal life through Christ. And what a trade. What a trade. Yes, my sin. That's the glorious thought. Not in part, but the whole has been nailed to the cross. Yeah, yes, that great gospel hymn. Not in part, but in whole has been nailed to the cross, and I bear it no more. What a glorious thought. That needs to be our mind. That is the mind of Christ. Let go of it. Whatever that pleasure in unrighteousness, repent of it. The pleasure of sin is but for a season. And even in this life, you're going to suffer for it eventually. It'll catch up to you. Trade it in for what Christ offers, eternal life through Christ, Jesus Christ. To join him when he returns in the resurrection. And when we see him, we will be like him. We will receive glorified bodies as he received and he showed everybody. And he appeared in a room. He had a new way to travel. Bam, he wanted to be there. He was there. He didn't even have to walk through the wall. He didn't have to walk at all. He was just there in the room. You know? And, yeah. And that's happened to a few people who have been translated from one place to another. We have that witness in the scripture. All this crude automobiles and planes and stuff, that's crude compared to God's technology. When you think about God's technology compared to man's technology, computers, you know, they're trying to mimic the brain. This is fantastic. They can't get near this. This camera here, these two, they got nothing like it. Yeah. As hard as they try and as good as they make them, they're not as good. How about a self-replicating technology like us? All these creatures and the plants and the animals and everything living out there self-replicates. We can't make anything like that. Our technology is crude compared to that. This technology is crude, you know? When I think about what my mind will be able to do and what I strive to do with my computers now, because my mind doesn't, you know, I can't access, it isn't working like it should be working, like God intended it to work, but it will work like that one day when I have a new body and my mind is renewed, that I am like Christ, man. Talk about super speed computing technology. God has already made it all. Even this, in this failing, corrupted earth and creation that we're in now, his technology far exceeds ours, because ours begins with corruption. We made it. That's why we have to keep making it better and better. And it does get better and better. I don't think we're going to need any computers in the millennial reign of Christ or automobiles. Who needs crude technology? We won't need any of that stuff. We will, you know, the people, the mortals that are here, living and dying and accepting Christ or rejecting him during that millennial reign. I write about that in the last three chapters of my book. So if you want some more clues about that, you'll be very interested in the last three chapters of my book. Okay? And I go into much more depth than I did in my exposition, because in the Revelation, my exposition of the Revelation, I'm trying to stick with the text and not diverge too far into any hypothesis or speculate or what may be considered speculation. But I go off in the last three chapters of my Reformed prophecy interpretation. And, you know, it could probably be redone better or expanded, but I just didn't want to exhaust people. If you want to be exhausted, read the Horae Apocalypticae, you know, or read James A. Wiley's three volumes of the history of Protestantism. You want to be exhausted and enlightened at the same time, because they are exhaustive, but very enlightening. I've read James A. Wiley's History of Protestantism twice thoroughly, and will read it. If I live long enough, I'll probably read it a couple more times. But anyway, speaking of time, we've run out of time, and I want to thank you all for showing up. May the Almighty bless you and keep you as you travel the narrow way that leads to life.
Visit crosstheborder.org, C-R-O-S-S, crosstheborder.org, to get your print, EPUB, or PDF version of Nicholas Arthur's book titled When the Third Temple is Built. That's crosstheborder.org.